WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now... You are,
and it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTOLive to interact with us live. And as she mentioned, you can hit that purple rectangular button. Well, no longer rectangular button. It's Lindsay to subscribe for 62 months. And you can too. Just hit the button. We got professional wrestling sports entertainment to talk about tonight here on the show.
We do indeed, because rumors are a-swirling. And there's a lot of questions going on in the world of wrestling this week. And it could get interesting. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but let's jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And the biggest news coming out, well, I should say the biggest legit news, like confirmed news, I should say, coming out of WWE, is that Karrion Kross, Scarlett, and Ashante, the Adonis, all of their contracts have expired with WWE. They are now officially free agents, which is pretty massive. Like, I wasn't expecting Ashante. I think we knew about Karrion and Scarlett.
Yeah, so Shantae's just came up and they chose not to renew after 6 years. So, I mean, at some point you can't re-sign everybody. So Karrion Kross, talk of internet. We want Kross campaign. And his contract expired over the weekend. But it's a word. Or is it real? That's what the internet wants to know. So it work or is it real? Can confirm he's their free agent. He's talked very much about how much they are a free agent. He talked about the whole entire process of them. Hey, they gave us an offer, gave me an offer. I had 24 hours to accept it or not. I assume he didn't accept it because he probably did not like the value of the said contract. And now they're free agents. They never offered Scarlett a new deal because they were going to get to her after. They weren't going to get a new deal with her if they couldn't get a deal with him because they're a package. So they weren't with him first when they did the offer the deal.
I mean, it makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. People are like, oh, it's just a work. No one cares. This is the whole thing. The R-Truth thing just really opened up this can of worms of like, is it real? Is it not real? Should he just come back? Should he just re-sign everybody? If WWE were to re-sign him, and we've talked about it for months, what do you do with him? And no one has that answer. He's a great background character to have. Can he go in the ring? Yeah. But they're not. They've never gotten behind him in that manner since his NXT days. Because they have a lot of talented people. And that's where things stand. So, could he come back? Maybe. Is he doing all the conventions now? Yeah. Could he show up in AEW at some point? I mean, yeah. People are like, oh, maybe he'll show up at Triple Mania. He could. He's a free agent. He can do whatever he wants. We'll see how much people care in a month about Karrion Kross. That's all.
Here's the thing with him. He was really hot in NXT when they first brought him in. They did a really good job on the presentation of him when they signed him way back when initially. And they built him into this really impressive, dominant star in NXT. At least that's what they wanted us to believe. And then he got the call up and they brought him up and Vince did what Vince did best at that point, which was just bury him. They had him lose on TV in his first match as champion of NXT. They then repackaged him. They split him and Scarlett up. They made him into this weird gladiator thing and the gimmick sank and he got buried and then he was subsequently released. And when Vince was removed from power the first time, Karrion and Scarlett came back because Hunter took over and he brought back essentially all his people. And Karrion, they started to do stuff with Karrion, and in the process of doing that, Vince came back again and the ball got dropped. And Karrion and Scarlett kind of sat on the shelf and sat on the shelf and sat on the shelf and sat on the shelf. And they didn't really do a lot with them, from what I recall. And then Vince was removed permanently. And I think about that point, Karrion's contract was up or something like that. And they convinced him to resign again. And then now we're here, where they've been very hot and cold with him, very off and on. They've tried different things with him. They had him in the group. The very strange group, and then they split him off on his own, which I feel like was the right call. Like, I don't believe anybody should have gotten released from that, but like, I think Karrion and Scarlett as a unit work better together than in a group setting, especially for what he was trying to do. Because I've said this before, I got a very, very clear, like, Wyatt Family vibe off of it because he was doing that very psychological sort of character as the leader.
So,
I'm
going to interrupt that. So he mentioned how he was going to be part of a spinoff of the Wyatt family with the Righteous. That was a plan. So that would make sense why he has that feel.
Yeah. And it's a good feeling. And I think if Bray was still with us, and I think if they had been able to see everything through the way they wanted to, because there were very clear plans there for a lot of different things surrounding Bray as a character, then it might have made more sense, right? But it just didn't make sense. And you had Karrion doing the group thing about the same time that the Wyatt Six showed up. And you had Karrion's group and you had the Wyatt Six, and they were pretty much doing kind of the same thing with the same vibe, the same everything, just one group had way cooler costumes, right? And one group, I feel like, executed it a little bit better than the other. And I was personally never a fan of Karrion's group. I'm not ashamed of admitting it. It's not anything necessarily he did or didn't do. It just didn't grab me. And then when they split him off on his own again, it didn't grab me like it should have. And part of that is just, again, I feel like it was the inconsistencies in the storytelling. It was the inconsistencies of him appearing or not appearing. And he would just kind of randomly show up in people's lives. And there was no real rhyme or reason to it. It was just he was there. And then you had like Karrion's group in the White Six kind of do a mini feud. And it's like, oh, okay, this is interesting. This could be cool. And then they sent the Wyatt Six to SmackDown. And that was it. That was the end of it. It was the one time it was interesting, Karrion's group. And that was it.
And then because Bo got hurt and someone got hurt in the group and things kind of trailed out from there. Like Matt says, I guess he will need to do the Cody route. At 40 years old, it's tough to make it back.
Honestly, it could happen. At this point, I think he has a better shot in Hollywood or in TV than he does in wrestling. And that's not to insult him. That is to say he has more irons in the fire there than he does in wrestling. Because he just put out the book. He's been in a couple TV shows. I think they got him in a movie or something. Like, I think he has better connections on the more entertainment side than the wrestling side. And I think that might be the best of course of action for him. But he may decide to continue wrestling, and that's totally fine. I wish him the best of luck. I know he and Scarlett were already putting out for appearances and that kind of thing, and they will be completely fine. Like, they'll figure it out, and they'll get it handled. But yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that they didn't re-sign, because I think he was frustrated and she was frustrated, and I think I don't think they were going to get anywhere where they were. Like, that was very apparent, especially with his booking towards the end. Like, they weren't going to do a lot with him.
He wanted to be back, but the value, it's business. You look at him, he's 40. What are you going to invest in him? You're not featuring him as a main player when you have hundreds of people for LFG and Evolve that and NXT that you're trying to make space for, who are younger and cheaper when you bring them up. So, in the world of dollars and cents, if he didn't like the offer they gave him, it kind of is what it is.
I mean, it's always business, to Matt's point, and it kind of shows how competitive WWE is, even in terms of not even for top spots. Because that's the other difficulty, is right now you have really, really, really strong contenders at the top, and they're not going anywhere. And it's sort of that glass ceiling situation again, where it's difficult to break through that. People will, and people have, like, it's not completely impenetrable, but it's, you have to be on top of your game at your very top level, and you have to be registering enough of an impact for management to sit there and go, yeah, okay, let's do the thing with this person and let's see what happens. Karrion wasn't getting that kind of reaction. He didn't have, like, his fans are very passionate and they love him, and I'm so happy that he got merch. I'm happy that his book got plugged. Like, I'm happy that he was on TV at the end and he just hadn't vanished and wasn't on TV. Like, everything was on the up and up for him, and I love that for both him and Scarlett, and, you know, that's wonderful. But even with what he was doing with Sammy, it was good, but it wasn't registering, at least to me, what on the same level as like what Jay was doing, right? Where Jay got yeet over, and yeet took Jay to WrestleMania, to a WrestleMania victory for a title, the title. Like, they're not the same thing. So I think in that interest, yeah, they offered him probably what they felt he was worth, which is not what he wanted to get paid. And I have full respect for someone who says, you know what, hey, I'm not willing to take that. I'm worth more than that. And yeah, I'm going to walk away. And same with, and Scarlett was a non-factor because they hadn't offered her anything. But, you know, if they were lowball Karrion, it's very likely they were going to lowball Scarlett, because in truth, Scarlett wasn't wrestling that much from what I remember. She was mainly his manager and that was it. So they were going to offer them what they felt they were worth, and that wasn't good enough for them. And so they left. So good for them. Ashante, like, just to kind of talk about him for a second, it sucks that he's gone because he's an extremely talented individual, but at the same time, you know, it's kind of the same deal. They gave it a specific amount of time, they gave him opportunities, and it just didn't work out. Now, he is younger, I think, and he could possibly go the Cody route.
Yeah, and he can get work elsewhere. He'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll all be fine. Like, here's the thing. They can go to TNA. They can go to AEW. They could go to the Indies. Like, there's plenty of work out there for them to get. It's just a question of what they're going to do now. Like, the what's really nice about this, or I shouldn't say nice, but it's the silver lining, as it were, is that they're free agents. The 90-day, you know, no-compete clause is gone. And they don't have to worry about. So they can just go out there and start working, like, immediately. At least for Karrion and Scarlett. Like, I think Shantae would have had a month. But even he doesn't have to worry about that because it's not there. Like, their contract's just expired. So that's a nice silver lining that they can just, like, hit the ground running. And, you know, it's something of, we just have to make a plan and figure it out.
He would have been 90 days. Because he has the main roster contract, even though he was down in NXT.
Oh, really?
Because he was brought up.
He was still in NXT.
No, he was signed to a main roster contract for when the group was brought back. And then went in. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, all right. Well, he would have had 90 days then. Yeah, you are correct on that. So moving on, in happier news, Lola Vice has re-signed with WWE, so congratulations to her.
Yep. She's one they want to keep. She's getting over.
So there you go. She's getting over. Let's go. Go, Lola. Moving on to AEW. We're keeping the re-signings rolling. Kyle Fletcher, The Gates of Agony, Daddy Magic, Matt Menard, Kota Ibushi have all re-signed with AEW. Kyle Fletcher is a multi-year deal. Gates of Agony is just a new deal. Matt Menard is a long-term contract. And Kota Ibushi is a two-year deal. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, Tony putting out the money, bringing some people back.
That's right.
They strapped the TNT title on Kyle Fletcher, so, you know, that's kind of a sign he re-signed. And Ibushi says he only has a few years left, so that's why he got 2 years.
You know what? I respect it. Get that bag, man. Get that bag. Lock that stuff in. And last but not least, for AEW, ROH Final Battle will be held on Friday, December 5th at the Greater Columbus Convention Center in conjunction with Galaxy Con, so go check that out.
Yeah, they're doing it with a convention. That
hold on.
That works. Also, there'll be an episode of Collision taped at Galaxy Con as well.
Hold on, I want to look at something. I just want to see if they have anybody announced for Galaxy Con. Just for who might show up at your AEW show for ROH. Let's see, attractions, get involved. Yes. Wait, they have voice actors? Who's going to be there? Let's see. Celebrities. Who are they having? We could have William Shatner. Weird Al Yankovic. Ben Schwartz. They could get Susan Sarandon.
They could do all of that. They could.
Ooh, Carrie Elwes is going to be there. Nice. I'm going down the convention travel hole. Anyway, go get your tickets. They should be on sale soon. And go to the con, because it should be fun. Blaine Brents?
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulder snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Adriana Rizzo has a torn ACL.
Hashtag blame Brent.
So she'd been working on a partially torn ACL for a year and a half. And then while training, it fully cooked. So that's where we're at.
That's unfortunate. I hate that for her.
Very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate.
So feel better. I just looked at who else is going to be at GalaxyCon. Nick Nemeth will be there. All 3 days. Just saying, it could happen. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to be chatting about the other big news that broke this week in professional wrestling, where it was announced on Monday that Naomi is sidelined with a mysterious injury, and nobody really seems to know what all is going on with it. So we're going to talk about that and what the future could hold for the women's division on Raw. So you're sitting in the rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio news desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know that you can use support a creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe at the right of the way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are back with our discussion. And like I mentioned before the break, you know, in case you're just joining us, the other big news that broke this week was that WWE announced on social media that Naomi was injured, which we hate. So if, you know, feel better, Naomi, we want you to heal up and, you know, be back in fighting form. But what's interesting is that they have not said what the injury is, and when Raw came on, they addressed it very briefly. They just said she was hurt. Again, they didn't tell us what was going on, and there have been no updates on it since, like in terms of what it is, in terms of ETA, in terms of everything, which, okay, all right, that's fair. It's not necessarily our business anyway. But it's just sort of something mysterious that's like, what are they, what's really going on with it? And then she kind of, she did a podcast with Stephanie where she was talking about having kids. And so I will leave that there for you all to draw your own conclusions.
Before you go on, which has been a very big discussion for a long time, that they want to start a family at some point. And I've talked about how this is probably her final big run before they do that. And the official thing is she's not been medically cleared. They never said injured, just not medically cleared. So, because that, if they said she was injured, that'd be one thing. But the word, phrasing medically cleared, not medically cleared, kind of stirs it up just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But please continue.
Kind of makes you wonder what's weird. Yes. Kind of makes you wonder what's really going on there. And it kind of makes you nervous at the same time because they aren't saying how long she's going to be hurt. There are rumors swirling. There's a lot of speculation. A report came out that is saying that she's going to be out for an extended period of time, which does not beat the allegations at all. And which would indicate that if that is the case and she's not going to be medically cleared for multiple months, then that could force her to give up the championship for that reason, which is not a wonderful thing for her because, as we all remember, the last time she held the title, she was forced to give up the title due to an quote-unquote injury right before WrestleMania that was a sort of like BS scenario, and they should have let her keep it because they've let everybody else keep it since.
But she also got the title right back. But she got the title right back.
So yes,
that didn't matter.
It doesn't matter, but it's more that they shouldn't have taken it off of her in the first place. But we're not here to talk about that. So, like, that would be devastating, I feel like, if they had to take it off of her for that reason. But obviously, if she is what we believe her to be, then that is a justifiable reason for to take the title off her. Like, please go enjoy that. So what we're going to talk about is the what-if scenario.
Can I add one more thing?
Yes.
It's just very coincidental that at SummerSlam...
You're scared of shit.
At SummerSlam, her father played her to the ring. Just very coincidental, timing-wise now. And then a week later, she's medically disqualified for the time being. I'm just, you know, just if you put pieces of the puzzle together...
If she was, they wouldn't have done it. Like, that's
I don't know. I don't know. But maybe it wasn't known at that point, but she knew it was coming. I'm just throwing it out there. Because it'll the pieces will come together at some point.
Because the earliest you can find that kind of thing out is, I think, about 3 weeks.
Yes. So based on my longstanding medical knowledge of watching a variety of medical related shows. A lot recently, yes, it is 3 weeks.
Dr. Rock. I think the earliest test you can get is 3 weeks. But the ye old timey method is if you are late, that is possibly what it is as well. And that's when you panic. But like, I don't know. Like, I think if there was like an inkling of it or if she already knew, then there would be an obligation to tell them. So I do completely support the theory that perhaps she didn't know. But at the same time, like, it could be a Becky scenario where it just came out of nowhere. Because Becky was one of those where she wasn't, and then, oh, hey, look, she's pregnant.
But in her book, she was saying they were trying, so it wasn't the surprise that everyone thought it would be.
But still, she was, and then, hey, there it is. I don't know. I don't want, until they confirm that's what it is. Like, I want to keep it on the positive. I, for the love of God, I do not want it to be anything horrible or negative or terrible for her. Like, I hope it's happy news. I hope it's good news. I hope it's what they've been trying for. Like, I really legitimately want that for her and for Jimmy as well. Like, they deserve that. I would hate to think that she's like, something else is going on. Something much worse is going on. And that's what's sidelining her. But we're not really here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the what if, right? What if Naomi is forced to give up the championship due to an injury? What do you do with the world championship? Now, there are implications because we do have a number one contender in Stephanie Vaquer, she was slated to go to Paris and fight Naomi in Paris. And now that is up in the air. Nobody really knows if that match is going to happen or not. So what do you do in that scenario? Because it's, well, it's not exactly fair to Stephanie that she did have the number one contendership. And due to unforeseen circumstances, Naomi gets hurt and can't defend. Like, do you give it to Stephanie in that instance because she's the number one contender? Do you hold like a tourney for it? And then you have Stephanie kind of be bitter about it because she got screwed out of it, or she's still the number one contender for whoever wins the title if she doesn't win it. How do you see that going?
So you do multiple things. So we'll take the Stephanie as number one contender theory first. You build it out where there's a 4-6-8 person women's tournament, with the winner, with the finals being the winner gets the Women's World Championship, but Stephanie's in the finals, where she's the number, like, the title gets crowned, and then she's the first shot at whatever event it is next that they want to do it at. Like, she faces the winner of the tournament, and that crowns it. You could do it that way.
I don't know how I feel about that. Or do you, like, just have her be in the finals automatically, like, because she is the number one contender? She already won the shot.
She's not forfeit. She's either the number one contender and gets the winner, or she's automatically in the finals of said tournament. You can do it one of two ways.
I would put her in the finals of the tournament.
I mean, you could do that. And that's really all semantics at that point, because whenever she would get the title match, if she's not in the tournament, it is what would be a finals scenario. So you could set it up that way. You can hold a random battle royal and the winner gets the title, and then Stephanie faces the winner at Paris, and you crown the champion there. You also then have to look at, well, was Stephanie getting the title in the first place? Because many want to speculate that the championship was going to be defended in Australia against Rhea Ripley, and many assumed that's where Rhea would be getting her championship back, in front of her hometown people. Her home country. So it's a matter, if they look at it short term, it's like, hey, do we put the belt on her there and then we do Rhea and Stephanie in Australia? Or whoever wins the women's world title versus Rhea in Australia? Do we have Rhea just win the title here? Or does Rhea even need the title at this point?
I would say, just based on fan reaction, that Rhea doesn't necessarily need the title. And I don't necessarily think she needs to win it in front of her hometown crowd. Like, she is over. And I mean, she is over. She gets the loudest pops of pretty much anyone of the modern era that I've ever heard. Like, at this point, I think she's hit that level where she is beyond the title. Like, would it be nice for her to win it in her hometown? Yes, absolutely. That would be super cool. And I don't want to deny her that at all. But I feel like Rhea is kind of above the title, and at this point it's breaching that territory, that Charlotte territory, where it's like, I don't really know if I want her to win it again, just because she's been on top for so long. You it's like, yeah, it's nice that she gets the title, but it doesn't really do much for me. It doesn't really do much for her, and I sort of want to see somebody else get the shot, right? Mm-hmm. Because while I love Rhea and I adore Rhea, it's going to be the same thing, right? We've seen it before. She's had a long reign, at least one, if not two, in this current iteration of herself. We know what it's going to be. We've seen that. We've been there. We've done that. And they're not necessarily going to do anything different with it that we're aware of, because she's riding that high right now and they're not going to screw with that. And so, like, I feel like to give her that title is just kind of like, yeah, it's good. It's nice. Yay, Rhea won. But it's not compelling, you know? Now, having Naomi beat Rhea, that's compelling. Because it's, now you have Naomi standing strong and tall as a champion. So it's like, okay, if Naomi is out and she's not in the picture, and say you crown, let's say hypothetically Stephanie, just to make my ovaries explode, beating Rhea Ripley would do a lot of good things for Stephanie Vaquer. Not that she necessarily needs a lot of good things, but it would help continue and build her momentum in the company.
It would, yes.
Especially with Naomi gone. Because Stephanie can hit that stride, she can hit that role, they can build her something, and then when Naomi comes back, because I'm almost rest assured that she will come back if this is pregnancy, because she made it a point to be like, you can leave have a baby and come back. It's not have a baby and you're done. Like it was in the past. It's no, I can come back if I want. So I feel like if she is in fact pregnant, then she would leave, go enjoy that, have the baby, come back, and then she would challenge Stephanie, and Stephanie could be at that kind of that height, and Naomi comes back and be like, let's go. Whether you have that be the first off, whether you build to that where it's, well, it's the match that could have been but never happened, and now we're going to make it happen. But I feel like you could build Stephanie Vaquer in this time into something bigger than what she already is, because she's already over. Like, we all love Stephanie, but she has that factor to her that they can capitalize on in Naomi's absence and build her into a credible challenger for pretty much anybody, including Rhea. Like, I think she could get to the height that Rhea's at right now if they just strap the rocket to her and let her go.
And they seem to be,
like, it's all there.
They seem to be in process of doing so. So in a perfect scenario, Stephanie Vaquer is your next women's world champion.
Yes.
So you wouldn't put the belt back on Io?
No. And here's why. Io had a fantastic run.
She did.
She did a lot of really great things with it. I think it did a lot of really great things for her. But to just put it back on Io after she just lost it, again, to me, that's not compelling. I don't know, though.
What if it's
such a weird scenario, because it's like...
Go ahead.
No, it's like, how do you decide? Because to me, it's like my brain's like, well, how do you decide it in the first place? Because I'm just remembering what they did with Becky and how for the Women's Money in the Bank, they had Asuka win the title instead of getting the contract because Becky was going away to be pregnant. And so if this is a similar scenario, is that kind of what you do? But it's like, you could, no, in that instance, you could have Io win.
That error doesn't matter. That was COVID.
Here it doesn't matter.
That the COVID era doesn't matter. Like, with the rules of the her giving up the belt with
Quincy, I'm just
the
saying briefcase. There's precedent for it.
There is, but there's no briefcase to do that with. You vacate the championship. That's what they did with Rhea. Rhea, when she got hurt.
Like, just to go back on it, I just don't think I want it to go back on Io.
What about Roxanne?
I don't think she's ready. Like, you could do it, and it would be fine. Like, it would be a good little title run. You have Roxanne get that surprise win. Like, she pulls it out and sort of snatches it from everybody. And now, oops, surprise, she's the women's world champion. And that could be interesting TV, because then you have people chase her. But she's got the thing going with Judgment Day. She's got the thing going with Raquel. And is that the thing that splits Raquel and Roxanne apart? Is that they both go for the title? Like to your point, they do... the gauntlet or the qualifiers for the title, or they do like a battle royale for the title, or they do something that like basically pits Raquel against Roxanne. And is that where we see the split and we see people's true loyalties come out, or do they help each other? That's the question. But I mean, I think Roxanne will be something, but I don't know if she's necessarily ready to do that yet.
All right. I'll throw one other name at you.
What are your thoughts on that?
I'll throw one other name at you.
Okay.
Asuka.
Okay. Asuka would be fine. But again, we've seen Asuka before. She had the title before she got hurt, if I remember correctly.
It's been a minute.
I mean, Asuka would be fine. Asuka would be a really good champion. She would be entertaining. But again, it's something that we've seen before. I think your best scenarios would probably either be, if you want something new and different and fresh, that you put it either on like Roxanne or you put it on Stephanie.
Okay.
And you see where you go from there. But what are your thoughts on that?
I would go with Stephanie or Roxanne as the surprise next champions. I could also see them give it back to Io and have Io be the stopgap again to whoever the next champion is. And you could tell the story. You can play it out where Io wins the title in the Battle Royal or tournament or whatever you do. Goes on to beat Stephanie. And then Rhea finally beats Io in Australia. And that's how you finish that story. Of Rhea finally beating Io. And she had to do it in her home country.
It's a thought. It doesn't do much for me, but it's a thought.
No, it's not a great thought. It's just that's a logical booking scenario. That's how you get the pieces back in order, especially because they were going short-term with Naomi as champion, kind of bridging the gap for whatever the next story was. And they gave her moment and stuff. Oh, there's
I can see it.
There's a lot of situations out there where they could do something different, and they can make someone with this opportunity because it's helped Rhea. Io got herself back over and won the championship back, and kept it at WrestleMania. Crowd's in love with her, so you can capitalize back on that momentum. I don't know. The timing is interesting, and you have a lot of talent that have a lot of momentum going. So whoever you put it on, whether it be Rhea, Io, Roxanne, Stephanie, whoever, they're riding the wave of momentum, and none of them are bad choices.
No. The question is, just to kind of flip this back, how long do we reasonably believe they can get away with not saying anything or addressing it before it becomes an issue?
2 weeks. I think you go 2 weeks.
Starting from last week or starting from this week? Or starting from Monday or starting from next week?
From this point. Because you're still trying to figure it out. Yeah, you could go past Clash and not have anything if you really want to. Again, Naomi was at Raw in Quebec. Mm-hmm. So it's not like there was nothing medically stopping her from getting to the show. So that should also be a thought, a thing to kind of play put all more pieces in the of the puzzle out there. So you don't fly to Quebec if you're injured.
No, and everything we've heard coming out of SummerSlam is that she was okay coming out. She was fine. I think the Monday after SummerSlam, she didn't wrestle, but she was fine. So the whatever it is has happened in the last week or so, and we don't know what it is for her, which is just it. The handling of it is just kind of like,
I think because there was a title match, they were like, we have to address it.
We have to do something.
They had to be like, hey, we can't deliver this match. If it was any other scenario, like if they didn't book the match, we wouldn't have had this conversation. No one would have known.
Yeah, no, we would know.
And
like, they wouldn't say anything.
They just wouldn't have, they would have just changed plans and Stephanie's match wouldn't have happened. Because while she was getting the shot, they never officially announced it, so you kind of had wiggle room around it, at least for another week or two. Mm-hmm. Because if it just came up, hey, we did all the blood work and yada, 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 this is what's going on, they kind of got to figure it out. And if it was like a day of thing where they learned about it, it's like, okay, so what do we do? And because you already had a show put together and planned and you had to make a little bit of change, you figure it out, and come Monday, we may know the whole story. They may do a whole big thing. It may be a People magazine article where, hey, Naomi is Jimmy Uso, or you know, it could be a thing. I don't know. They got time. Is they're not in a rush. If there's no women's world champion for a month, there's no women's world champion for a month. It's okay. The world's not going to end. Because they got time to figure it out.
But like we said at the start of this, we hope she's okay. We hope everything is going to work out fine for her. And if it is what we all believe it to, congratulations. Enjoy it.
Yes.
You both deserve it. And this is a fantastic time if it is what we think it is. So go, y'all. Good job.
And it's just going to add a piece to the puzzle. She's been very vocal on the social medias for a while. And then things got quiet. Something's up.
I hope it's happy news. I hope it's good news. I want it to be good news. I don't want it to be bad.
I think if it was bad news, we wouldn't be talking about it.
No. I think, here's the thing, it's probably very early. And so if it is what we think it is, they're probably going to wait a little bit before they say anything, because depending on circumstances, you don't know what's going to happen, because the first trimester is always a little bit unstable. Or can be unstable. And so, not saying it's going to happen, not wishing it would happen at all. I hope it doesn't happen, but things can happen. And so it's just easier to not say anything until you're sure it's all going to be okay before you officially announce it. That kind of thing. So that could be what they're waiting for. Or maybe they just don't want people to know, and that's fine too, because it's really not our business. that's the most important part of this. It's not our goddamn business at all.
It is not.
If they want to tell us, fine, great. But if they don't, okay, fine. That's fine.
So, correct.
Yeah. But I think we're done. What do you think?
We are done.
You got stuff to plug, so plug away.
I have to. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, another edition of CB Radio. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio, the WTR Fantasy Season 21 edition. We play a game of Blind Risk for the draft. Tune in Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday, it's the Raw Post Show. Whenever Raw ends, we'll be live to talk about it. And we'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack. You can check out The Rack Extra Reviews, Madden NFL 26, now available. Go out and buy Madden. It's available today. Just go buy the thing, play it, to do the thing. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, wherever you get your podcast, or search Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple button below the screen. You can use carrier code RockSock or
Lynn's M Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store, whether you support Genshin, Honkai, buy EA Sports, Madden NFL 26, buy Power Rangers. Use the codes because we are
Hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimbaLynn's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lynn's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell Matt we said hi because he does amazing content. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WorldTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week. Till then. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.